Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Laugh as we go and see ya.
Bad loud.
y'all doing this morning? Happy New Year to you. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Let's hear this New Year's morning. I tell you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Here this is too close. Oh, here this new Year's morning. How y'all doing on the first? The first year. First day of the year. I'm happy to be here with the new program director. We started out in the first of the year. Working the board. I tell you, to be in charge of something, you got to know how to do it all, and he certainly know how. He's here. So anyway, we're going to do something for y'all this morning. I was thinking about our community and looking at what's going on. I watched a lot of stuff, and I've been doing a lot of reading in the last few days. I think today is Emancipation Day in Ebony, and I've been doing a lot of reading. And I said I needed to do something for our community. And I was trying to figure out, because, you know, we got a great community. We got a very smart community. Given they said, Jane Brown said, I don't want nothing. Open up the door. I'll get it myself. And so what happened? And I've been listening to a lot of people and listening to what they're saying. Sometimes I have to turn them off, because they, like, drain your energy with no thoughts or nothing to do. Or folks will call in and they go, well, you know, the man, they go through all this stuff, or people just be down. And I said, what is it that's so different from the time that we were enslaved to now through Jim Crow, through all this stuff as a community? What was so different then than now? Well, so I had to go to my leader and my teacher, the men who have really given me my moral compass besides God. I mean, God is my moral compass, but the one that I go to was like a father to me, who really, I just thank God that I was allowed to be in his presence and to travel with him. And in fact, he is the reason that I'm here in Chicago. But to have just grown up, cool, so what can I do? And, you know, I have a lot of Dr. King's speeches. And I got up one of those little cassettes. And usually I transfer them to the CD. I guess you have to go with the, you got to have the zip drive too. So I told my son to put it on the zip drive in the CD. So he didn't give me the zip drive, but he sent it to Evan in whatever form it is in. So we're going to be able to still play it. But let me just say, the reason I went to him was because Dr. King did a sermon, and a lot of folks are going to be celebrating him in a few weeks. And I hate it when they call him MLK. I think black folks bring Dr. King down a notch. We teaching our children that this man was MLK. And just put an I in it, it wasn't nothing but some milk, huh? He wasn't MLK. He was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who gave his life for us. I mean, he could have been like some of these other leaders. He could have sold out, like most of them are doing. He didn't deal with sound bites. He didn't deal with, he knew his God, and he knew God. And Dr. King was a minister. He was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who believed strongly in God, who understood that there were a God, and is that there were God, and that and he loved his people, and even on the threat of death constantly. And I know that for a fact, because I was there, you know, many times when it happened, we discussed it. He could have very easily said, I'm not going to die, I ain't doing nothing, I'm going to just give it up and don't do nothing. Fell out. Even when he got the Nobel Peace Prize, he shared it with the whole civil rights movement, because he thought it was belongs to the whole movement. When he left, he didn't have any money. He didn't leave his children rich, or Miss King and those children, because his life was to God and to his people, doing the work of God. But the sad thing that happened, just as with Malcolm X and the other black leaders, after Dr. King was assassinated, not killed, not murdered, was assassinated, the black community should hold their head in shame because they did not take care of Dr. King's family, even though he took advantage of all the things that we had fought for and the things that he died for. So I said, okay, you know, I listen to him a lot and I think about him a lot and a lot of stuff, you know, and those of you who are listening to me around the country who know what I'm talking about, because y'all say y'all's going to listen, those who was part of that movement who was still here. So I said, what am I going to give my people? Because we got to kick this year off, y'all. I'm going to lay out and try to figure out how we're going to do to really come up with some solutions to bring y'all stuff. So I wanted, I'm going to play The Meaning of Hope. I think I'm going to do it at the 7 o'clock hour. I'm not sure yet. I got to see how many minutes is in there, and then I'll see whether I'm going to start at the beginning and come back. But I'm going to play The Meaning of Hope. And I think that black people really need the meaning of hope right now. If you understand and if you understood hate, hope, you would not deal in hate and a lot of other stuff, or you would not deal in sound bites. Dr. King gave his life so that we could have representation. Dr. King didn't do party. He chose to tell us that it's not about a party, it's about your people. Because if you get stuck on a party, you cannot deal with stuff. And Bellevue used to teach us that when you get emotional, when you get emotional, you make mistakes because you're dealing with emotions, not what's real. You're not listening to God. You always make your own decision. So I said, my people need hope so we can somehow move our leadership. The reason black folks right now are hopeless is because of the leadership, whether it's elected, anointed, or appointed. They're dealing with sound bites. All you got to do is listen to all of them. You listen. They all say the same thing. So you know the sound bite. They get sound bites from their politicians, and they say that. They get sound bites from others that say that. They don't read. We have to read. We have to study. And you have to pray first and ask God to come in. So hopefully we can get our people away from sound bites that we're given, and we can get back onto hope and really move our people forward, because the reason we're here from enslavement on to today is because there was those who didn't deal with sound bites, didn't deal with parties, they dealt with their people and with hope and believing. And if we're going to do anything, and I hope I have time to talk at the end, if not, we'll do later. I believe that if we're going to talk about violence and all the other stuff, and I mean, you can march through all that. It really just kind of get to me a little bit, because the root cause, nobody want to accept the fact that we have to get into that educational system. The educational system turn out functioning illiterate students who cannot think. That's why they can get in there and teach them critical thinking and all that other stuff, teaching them all about sex, everything but education. Because we used to get killed, if you read, there's Dr. King who said, cut your hands off or lynch you. That's how Frederick Douglass got sold. They found that Frederick Douglass could read, he had to get away from them. The master wife taught him how to read through the Bible. And he went on to be a great orator and went on to be one of the greatest person it was to write. And that's because of education. And we always stress education. And I never thought I would live to see a time, and we just got to move forward, y'all, as a people, that our people would not concentrate or know the importance of education and to push that. I mean, Mama Bear, Papa Bear, whatever you want to call it, you got to fight for your children, right? You send them to the schools, they're not getting educated. And I'm going to give you some stats and stuff at another time, not today. They're just going to school, and they're being indoctrinated, not educated. Math, science, they got to deal with AI, music, all the stuff that you need to make it. and they're not. They're dealing with the LBQ, all the other stuff they're dealing with, sex they're dealing with, CRT, this white person's inferior, superior, you inferior. There's another kind of thing going on. I said, well, what to do, Lord? And that's when I decided that I was going to. I put my hand on the message, the meaning of hope, because we got to understand that those of us who have an opportunity, we must give our people hope. That means the ministers. That means the anointed, the appointed, or the political leaders. Hope. And how do you give them hope? By being truthful and laying out something, an agenda to do. Today is the 1st of January. You're going to have the Chinese history taught in all public schools starting Monday. But what you're going to teach black folks is CRT, critical race theory, not critical thinking. And not in every black legislator in Springfield voted for the history of the Chinese to be taught in the schools. And not one of them raised the question about let's put together a real panel of historians and put the history of black folks in the public schools. Senator Shaw passed, did the bill before he passed. He and Brookings wrote this bill. They did this bill. But then they're just sitting there. And it's because of fear. Fear is a hell of a thing, y'all. And we're dealing with post-trauma slavery syndrome. When you're afraid of something, you're afraid the master's going to get you, so you trade one master for another. So we put people in office. Dr. King gave us a life and stuff. And folks start acting like they own plantations and that they got masters over them. When you're afraid to raise the issue, as long as it's dealing with truth and it's not hate and it's in love, to raise the issue of our people. If we don't decide that we're going to work on behalf of black people, give them hope, be willing to fight for them to have education. And there's a lot of other things we need to be talking about, but I'm not going to deal with that until later, because when you talk about trades, how they close the trade schools down, there's different things that happen. How our people, the reason our children, a lot of people like they are, is because of the manipulation. I'm not going to go a long way in it. I do, if I have time afterward, I'm going to take calls after the Dr. King. But I have to take a break now. I'm going to take a 6:30 break. So in a minute. So this is what we are going to be talking about, the meaning of hope. And what does, and after Dr. King, you can tell me what it means, other than talking, y'all. I turn people off now. They can't tell me. The Talk of Chicago, 69WVON. Our number is 773-591-6090. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And if you miss me, you can go back on Blog Talk and pick my show up and listen to my show on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and everybody they shatter, baby, because they're the truth. Conference in a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, in this great WVON studio in the great city of Chicago. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. You know, I'm on full because I got the program director running my board, so I know I'm tough. Be right back.
Coffee, tea, and Dorothy. Dorothy Tillman will take your calls right now at 591-1690.
Coughing or sneezing into a tissue or the crook of your arm reduces the spread of airborne diseases like influenza and pneumonia. Keep yourself and your community healthy. This healthy reminder is brought to you by Zing Health.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense, so bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
This is Melissa Washington, Vice President of External Affairs and Large Customer Services at ComEd. Kwanzaa is a celebration of African heritage and African American culture. ComEd is proud to celebrate its seven principles during this holiday season. We introduce today's feature using a customary Swahili greeting, Habari Gani, which means, what's the word? At ComEd, we're powering lives.
Today is January 1st, and we begin the new year celebrating the principle Imani. Imani means faith. This principle calls on us to believe with all of our hearts in righteousness and in the patriarchs and matriarchs of our struggle. Imani teaches us to believe in the good we seek to create. WVON encourages you to begin the new year reaffirming the faith of our ancestors and putting in place practices that cultivate and fulfill our hope, brings happiness, and gives meaning and measure to our lives. Start the new year by keeping the faith. My name is Reginald Wayne Sharp, Jr., the Senior Pastor of Fellowship Chicago, and we encourage you to celebrate Imani.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
With news and information coming to you from every direction, here's a team you can trust. It's The Commentators, WVON's exclusive group of thought leaders sharing their perspectives on everything from politics to business to community from every angle and every side. It's Kimberly Agoin, Carl West, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and Yolanda Joe. The Commentators, the most exclusive club in Chicago. Join them weekdays, 9:20, 5:20, and 11:55 p.m. They are why we're the talk of Chicago. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it loud. We've been duped, and we've been scorned. We've been treated bad, talked about, as you and you bone.
Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud. We've been treated bad as soon as you, I tell you, he says, as soon as you're born, I'm telling you, black folks, this is going to be black, black. I'm going to do a little difference at my 7 o'clock, but I'll tell y'all it later, because this message from Dr. King, I want you to listen, and I want you to tell your folks we got it. But we're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, on group Facebook, and you can also get me on my Blog Talk if you want to, if you missed the show. But I hope you're up. I'm happy to be here with you this first day and to set a tone of hope. And that's why I'm going to play Dr. King at the 7 o'clock hour. And we're going to do hope. Now, what I might, I didn't have time to do all the other, y'all have to bear with me this morning. I might take a few calls. I know y'all know when I'm going to have Dr. King, I want. I might take a few calls, but I want to just talk to y'all for a moment here. For the education part. You know, we the 13th and the 14th Amendment, as Dr. Claude Anderson said, was made for black people. So, I know y'all know what I'm going to do, Dr. King. There ain't nobody that I'm not going to take calls, but I'm not going to do him until the 7 o'clock hour. And I might take some calls. And we're going to open up my song playbook in there. I walk a mile in my shoes is in there about. We're going to, you know, love in need of love today need to be played. I don't know at what point I'm going to play, but I'm going to play Walk a Mile in My Shoes today so that you can kind of set the stage for Dr. King. Let me talk about the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment. Now, I had some other stuff I was going to share with y'all, but I decided it's not worth it. I saw a lot of different shows, and there was one theme that was running among the ones who had Latinas. And it was talking about the things that they're entrepreneurs, they're this and they're that. And really, I'm a little upset about that because, and I listened to the show yesterday, maybe one day this week, and I heard somebody talking about the Black and Brown Coalition. There is no Black and Brown Coalition. And Black people are very loving. Black folks give a lot. Because life came from us, we give a lot. And then once people get there, they just kind of move off. I'll give you an example of everything that the so-called colored people or minority people is using today to get ahead is based off the struggle and the fight of Black people. And then we keep forgetting that it's our playbook that everybody's playing with. We act like that's why I'm playing Dr. King about hope today, y'all. And you got to wake up everybody. You know, that's why I'm playing at the 7 o'clock hour to make sure that you're here. Everybody have made it based off of our struggle. Now, when you look at people coming into this country and they say, well, I got here and I had a baby and my baby is a citizen. Why is that? It came from the anchor babies. Is it from when the government decided, I think it's 15 amendment, the government decided that they were going to amend the Constitution. It was the 14th Amendment. The Constitution that said that a person born or natural in the United States when it was talking about Black folks, Africans, enslaved Africans, how do we make them citizens? So that whole anchor baby question came up because of the enslavement, not because of other people. So we have just pushed that. We are so messed up, y'all, because we got leaders and stuff, or just people who don't read. And other folks are reading. They're having the conference. They're having the, I read to you all of the organizations that all of these people have. And they lay out what they're going to do, and it have nothing to do with their party. It's got something to do with them. And this, if you look at what they're pushing now, and Black folks are being pushed back because our leadership is not strong enough to be armed with truth and to push back. I was talking to some of the elected officials. And that's why when I play Dr. King, I hope they are listening. I asked them, why are they fighting and arguing about a number? Why are you buying into the fact that our numbers are low? Our numbers are not low. I was telling them that if you walked across the border or walked from anywhere and you're illegal and you're counted, why are you buying into the fact that that's your numbers are low? Your numbers are not low. I heard someone say on the radio about they was talking, I don't know which show, I think it's one of the morning shows, and they were really getting into this whole thing about how Black folks don't do this, Black folks, you got to stop that, because the whole playbook that everybody's doing now is our playbook. And someone was talking about some of the other communities. Well, they were absolutely right, because Chinatown uses all of the laws, the Chinese use all of the laws that Black folks have fought for, but at the same time, they discriminate against us like the ones that we were fighting against. You cannot work in Chinatown. But Chinatown used all of the laws in, to build. They used tax increment finance to build that whole area over there. I know because I was there. That's how I studied under them to see how they do it. Did it. That's when I first did the first TIF in the Third Ward. They use all of government stuff, but they stay within themselves. And we allowed, and the government allowed. No government goes in and says, you must hire this black, you must do this, you must do that. The same thing when you go to other all other communities. The only community that we may get a job in is ours. So that's a whole other discussion that black folks need to look at as we're talking about our inferiority. We're not inferior, but how can you think if the school, if you don't tackle the school, what can you do? You have got to tackle the education. I don't know a lot of households that don't have men in it. They keep saying the father's not home. They might not be married. But we need to look at what's going on with our young men. That's a whole other thing we're going to be dealing with in the future. The 14th and 15th Amendment was written for black folks. Now, a lot of folks have used it without any bloodshed, and we're sitting our butt down, and we're allowing those things to happen. I told you about the Chinese, what they're going to have and what I have to be taught. And I'm going to tell you one more time, and I know y'all didn't think I was going to take calls this morning, but I am. Just a few minutes. And at 7 o'clock, I'm going to go to Dr. King. I just want to keep telling you that so you can go to Dr. King. Now, as of today, the 1st, on July 9th, 2021, Illinois passed an act requiring Asian American history to be taught in public schools. Every black voted for it. I'm not telling y'all whether it should have happened or not. But I do want to know why did they vote and not raise the question about black history. And I'm not talking about black history for a week. This is about teaching. Because maybe the children understood who we were and not know you're inferior to a white man. The white man is white. That's why I like CRT. You're superior. Black child, you're inferior. Y'all hate each other. No, it's not based off of hate. They're going to talk about the history requirement in public school curriculum, titled the Teaching Equity of Asian American History Act. It is titled the Teaching Equitable Asian American History Act. You should look it up. The new section of the study in the Illinois School Code will take full effect during the 2022-23 academic year. It's going to start 22-23. And these are some of the specific things they're going to do with maybe they're going to be doing a requirement that must be taught, the contribution of Asian American toward advancing civil rights. That is something from 19th century onward. The contribution made by individual Asian American government in the arts, humanity, and science. The contribution of Asian American community to the economic, cultural, social, political development of the United States. I told y'all way back when y'all started tearing down them statues and following all these people, that they're trying to wipe out the history of black people who built this country. This country was built by on the backs of enslaved people, but it was the country in America was built with white Anglo-Saxon and black people. And now you got a whole new group coming in here, and you're allowing it. You're allowing it. Our leaders are allowing it. Like, they're pushing voting rights bill. Ain't no such thing as a voting. Vote right bill been passed. You tell me when you weren't able to vote. And the reason they're pushing it because they're harming themselves. Because in that read the bill, leaders, how they going to make all the illegals legal? They're going to let the illegal vote. You should see the stuff that's in there. They're going to take control of your election, local election. I'm calling on the leadership to stop reading the talking points. Don't read the talking points. I'm calling on the leadership to read the bill. And when you read the bill, if you still believe in it, that's a different thing, but not the talking points. One of my listeners called in and told me, and I kept this. They said, John Henry Clark said, one of our greatest strengths is our love for humanity. We accept everybody, but our weakness is not knowing their intentions. That's deep. That's real deep. And the Asian Americans, more than just Chinese, y'all. Now, you have to understand Koreans and all these other people. Now, what I'm trying to tell y'all, when you look at the numbers, the census numbers, and I'm just trying to educate y'all just a little bit because I want y'all to know where we're going to be going this year. And I took my time to look at this stuff. The black people who call themselves something else dropped our numbers. You got a lot of other black people who didn't even do the census. I don't know whether the Nation of Islam do census or not. If they do, somebody can tell me. You got them. You got Jehovah Witness. You got all these other black folks who call themselves something else and not understand the cohesiveness. I hope black folks do. I heard it. Some of them said on the show, some of the shows, that we're going to come together and we're going to work on behalf of black people. To love black folks don't mean that you hate anybody else. To love yourself don't mean it. But we must get black folks back to family, to God. We've got to get back to education and country, because this is our country. You have allowed folks to bully you out of understanding that America belongs to us. And those who have not traveled don't know any better. When you travel abroad, you have to give your country of origin. And if you're a descendant of enslaved black in America, your country of origin is America. It's not all these other places, because Africa is a continent. I know we celebrate Kwanzaa, but your country of origin is America. If America is so bad, and I know it got problems, why everybody knocking down the doors? They're coming in here and they're knocking you out of everything. They're pushing you even out of the communities. Our communities are going. They're just pushing back. But that's a whole nother story. That's why I'm playing Dr. King about hope. I don't want y'all to give up hope, and I don't want y'all to be so worried and so scared. Y'all think it's over. It's not over. Let me take Mama D's on the phone. Because she heard me say I'm going to take calls. Usually I don't take calls when I'm going to do Dr. King, but I'm doing Dr. King at 7:30. Let's see what Mama D said. Mama D, how you doing this morning?
Hallelujah greetings. Habari Ghani. Imani means faith. It's faith in our people, our parents, our leaders, and righteousness in the victory of our struggle. It does not mean faith in God. God is not mentioned, because Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday. Every time you take down a white statue, you take down black history.
Right, right.
Dr. King said sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners should be sitting down at the table of brotherhood. Mm-hmm. That is not happening. So every time they remove anything about slave owners, they are erasing the history of the slave. And I am so glad that you know the difference. Equity for all is not the same as reparations for what happened to us.
Equality.
I just wanted to say this before I get cut off, and that is faith makes you hope. Hope, faith is the subject and source of all things hoped for. So faith is bigger than hope.
Right.
But
I don't know. Faith and hope, you cannot separate.
Well, what I said, the word, the definition, biblically speaking, separates. So that's another subject. But what I wanted to say, there's two ways to citizenship. The 14th Amendment says if you're born here. The other way is to become a naturalized citizen by passing a test that says you must read, write, and speak English. The John Lewis Advancement Voting Rights Bill changes that, and for three groups of people, Asians, Latinos, and American Indians, black people are not in it.
Hold up for a moment, Mama D, hold for a moment. What what you're saying, what I've been trying to tell them. We're working against our own best interests. I had my turn on this talking about the voting rights bill. The voting rights bill. That's not. We're working against our own interests.
Absolutely.
And we don't. Wait, Mom, let me talk. The problem is our people don't know it because they won't read. They're getting talking points. The black community is being led by talking points, but the other communities are not. When you have a bill in Springfield and all of the black elected officials voted on it that say that illegals can vote on the board, on the school board, who's going to sit on the Board of Education? That doesn't make any sense. So you go from there in a minute to something else. Now, when you look at the board, you see who's running the Board of Education, who have the CEO, who we fought for Manfred Bird, now you got somebody else. You got all this other stuff going on. So what I'm trying to say to you is that people are leading our people by talking points, Mama D. And I know you and I go back and forth, but this is a disgrace.
The big thing is it's against the Constitution.
It
instead
is.
Of sweating the small stuff, the local branch stuff, we ought to focus on the Constitution and what is happening.
Well, local is not small. It's part of our Constitution.
Well, Congress,
wait, no. Our Constitution, we're a republic. It gives power to the states, to local, so that we can select who we want. Black people don't even know Constitution no more. This is not your country. Don't learn it. I gave all my grandchildren constitutional stuff this week for Christmas.
What goes to the Supreme Court is constitutional. I'm not saying the other isn't important. I'm saying the Constitution trumps it all. That's why in 1954 it was ruled that segregation laws were unconstitutional because they existed to keep the status of the Negro down, not the status of everybody, but the Negro down.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that John Lewis bill is a congressional bill.
Yes, it is. It's the worst thing in the world, Mama D. Mama D, you own it, and I know, but I'm going to have to go, but you're absolutely right. Right now, they're getting ready to really sock it to us. And I'm telling black folks, call your representative and tell them do not support that and tell these black leaders to stop. Mama D, keep listening because I'm playing Dr. King, Keep Hope, What the Meaning of Hope, and we can discuss it later next week. Thank you so much, Mama D. Frank, I'm taking before I take a break.
Oh, wow. Ms. Tillman, thank you for being here today. Happy New Year to you. Happy Kwanzaa.
I had to come to you. Happy New Year to you.
I just stopped, beat my fist on the table. I said, I knew she was going to be here. And what a way to start this new year off. I love the way you started off, Ms. Tillman. I can't speak on everything all the time, of course. But I love the way you started off and said, something is wrong. What do we have coming out of slavery that we don't have today in our community? I said, she is so starting off on the right note, because that's a very powerful question. And I want to just speak on that real quick, Ms. Tillman, because I think it has led to danger and destruction in our community. In slavery, Mr. We all know our black woman was so disrespected. She was raped, okay? She was forced to sleep with different slaves. She was forced to sleep with the slave master, his son.
Hey, Frank, did you know that the men was raped too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The men don't deal with but the whole history of black men being raped.
Kid. Yep, coming up as a kid, I didn't recognize that. But recently, over the past year, I said, you know, something can make a whole lot of sense. So there were homosexuals back then, and I wouldn't doubt that whatsoever, that they was raped by these, you know what I'm saying, homosexual men.
No, that's history. That's history that the mm-hmm. black men was raped. I mean,
yes.
Violently raped.
You don't see that nowhere in the history books either.
It's there, but you have to dig to get it.
But Mr. Tillman, the poem I'm trying to make is this right here. As we came out of slavery, because that's what happened to our families broken up, we really doubled down times 1,000 and was so sincere about keeping our families together. We were so sincere about all our babies being by the same one man. That started getting attacked and broken down in the middle of the last century and really in the mid to late 1960s. Now what's happening is the new thing now is that marriage is just a currency to fulfill for a few years. And this from top to bottom in our community. Marriage, the end thing now is no longer all my kids by the same woman. Now the end thing
is multiple babies, multiple daddies. Frank, let me say this because I'm going to try to take this last call before I go on break because I do want to bring, I want you to make sure you listen to Dr. King. One of the things is we define the family a little different from other folks coming out of slavery. The whole community was the family. That's a whole other thing we're going to be getting into this year, mm-hmm. talking about family and what is our responsibility yes. to all of the children.
Yes.
I thank you, and you keep on listening, because I'm trying to take this last call before I go on break, because I'm coming back with Dr. King, and please listen, and if I have time, I'm going to
call. You know I am.
Okay,
you
thank you for calling. Okay, thank you for calling. Lewis, you got a minute before I go on break. I took you. You got 2 minutes, and I got to go.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Yes.
Ms. Tillman, have you ever heard of the Harvest Institute Freedmen Federation?
I've had Dr. Anderson on many times talking about it. In fact, I introduced Dr. King to Chicago.
Okay.
And I mean Dr. Anderson, I'm talking Dr. King. Dr. Claude Anderson had the Harvest, and I've had him on my show several times talking about it and have introduced him. I brought him to Chicago. He wrote Black Labor, White Wealth, Power Economics, and I know about – I was at in Washington with Dr. Anderson fighting on behalf of the Freedmen Bill.
Okay, so you know about the Treaty of 1866,
I know
then,
about
right?
the Freedmen. I know about the Freedmen Bill. I know with the Indians and what happened, about the Dalles Roll. In fact, the last time Dr. Anderson was on the show, he talked about it. So I'm very
okay.
familiar with the Freedmen Bill.
Okay, so you know that in November of 2006, they filed a lawsuit against the Secretary of the Interior on behalf of the Freedmen.
Yeah,
and that
yes, I do.
And that in September the 29th, 2016, it was settled. It was settled for $492 million.
I don't think it's been settled yet.
Yes, it has. It has.
Well, I got to call Dr. Anderson. I didn't know that to settle. But I was.
No, Ms. Freeman, just look it up in
on
the internet.
Anderson, because the squire was the attorney, and it was really a deep. You have to get all the real stuff from Dr. Anderson. In fact, when he talked to you the last time, he said they were still fighting for the Freeman.
Ms. Tillman, please just look
okay,
it up.
I'll look it up.
Ms. Tillman, here you go.
I gotta go. I got to go. Walk a mile of my, I got to go. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're on Blog Talk, and we're also on, let's Otis play, y'all. Walk a mile in my shoes. If we walk, you can walk a mile in a black man's shoes. No more calls until after Dr. King, y'all. So don't call. I'm not sick. Walk a mile in my shoes. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee tea and a conversation with me right here at the great WVON. We want you to hear Dr. King today. He's coming on after I come back from the break. And it's called The Meaning of Hope. Walk a mile in my shoes. And I think it's very fitting to bring on Otis Clay. I'll be right back, y'all.
That you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Before you abuse, criticize and accuse, walk. Now your whole world you see around you.
It's talk radio that makes you think. The Talk of Chicago is 1690 AM, WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
With us. Today we're spotlighting some of the best podcasts available on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Andrea Coleman, and here's another podcast you should know on the Black Information Network.
This is the Mo Kelly Show. Sisters Christina and Vicky receive an early Christmas gift, a luxurious vacation at an exclusive resort from their Aunt Debbie, who hopes to bring them together after they've grown apart since their mother's death. The sisters are less than thrilled by the idea of spending time together for the holidays. Such sets the stage for a sisterly Christmas. And joining me right now are two of the stars. First, acclaimed gospel singer Deborah Joy Winans, who takes on the role of Christina. Deborah, welcome back to the Mo Kelly Show.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Good to talk to you again. And also pleased to be joined by actor Kendrick Cross, who plays Keith, Christina's love interest, because it's not a Christmas movie without a love interest. Kendrick, good to have you on as well this evening.
Thanks so much, Mo. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Kendrick, let me start with you. I've seen you in Genius, the Aretha Franklin story, Clint Eastwood's movie about Richard Jewell, Queen Sugar, and so many other places. I mention that because a Christmas movie would seem like a different experience altogether. Do you have any ritual to help you get into the Christmas spirit to do a movie? And you're probably filming not during the holidays.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny. This was my first Christmas movie, I think. Yeah. So really it's the environment we were put in. We did it at a place that is known to film Christmas movies. So they had all the decorations out. They had a Christmas tree farm that we went to, you know, even the clothing. We generally think of Christmas as being cold, snowy. We didn't have snow, but things like that is what, and it's very easy when you have a cast that's super talented and everything they do helps bring you into that moment. So, you know, after reading the script, you know, we just have to put ourselves in that atmosphere and that mentally in the spirit of Christmas. And that's what I did.
Deborah, I think about the whole idea of Christmas and family, and you yourself come from a big family. It's no secret to anyone. What is it about Christmas writ large and family, which also breeds these wonderful memories and also for some families, a lot of concern about what might happen?
Well, I think that, you know, the holidays in general will bring about a lot of love, a lot of joy and happiness. But also, as you go through life, people lose loved ones during the holiday. And so trying to face that holiday again is really, really hard and traumatic.
We hope you are enjoying our special holiday presentation of Podcast You Should Know on the Black Information Network. To hear the full version of The Mo Kelly Show, be sure to visit the iHeartRadio app. This is Andrea Coleman, and we'll be back with more Podcasts You Should Know on the Black Information Network.
Trouble sleeping? Powering down devices 30 minutes before bed reduces your exposure to blue light, which can disrupt your sleep. Try unwinding with a book or light stretching for better rest. This healthy reminder is brought to you by Zing Health.
Somebody's always trying to reach into your purse or pocket to take your money. AARP understands this holiday season is for giving, but for scammers, it's the season for taking. A new AARP research fraud report revealed 41% of black adults have been targeted by a scam. 60% of black adults who lost money to a scam lost money more than once. Overall, black adults are targeted with government imposter scams, especially IRS, the most, followed by lottery, fake job postings, and romance and dating scams. Now it's time to engage your inner skeptic to help you avoid and spot common frauds like charity scams, gift card fraud, and online shopping scams. The AARP Fraud Watch Network is working to empower you to protect yourself from fraud and scams. Learn more at AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network or call the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360. It's your money, so keep it.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Greetings, family. This is Salim Muwakil asking you to check in with America's most astute radio audience every Saturday between 7 and 10 p.m. and astound family and friends with your bulging mind muscle. Join our global classroom where we're all students of the world.
On the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Live
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop.
I don't mind. We got some difficult days ahead. Dr. King didn't know. He knew because he was had been to the mountaintop. But he never thought it would be like this. Those who reap the benefit from our movement there, the education, political, and economic benefit, would turn their back on the black community, which is something we're going to talk about in the near future, about black by, you know, feasibly black, conveniently black, and some other things in terms of how the disinvestment from our own people have happened in our community. It is 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. To take a deep breath over there, I'm going to have me a new board op. I got to get his name. He's learning. Take a deep breath. It's time to be the Trinity, y'all. Take a deep breath. Come on over there, all y'all over there, even the boss men, as Eddie call you. Black. Two more times, y'all, for the Trinity. Black. One more time. Black. Is that black enough for you? Make up your mind. Get in line, y'all. I know y'all was waiting on Dr. King on this New Year's Day, but since I'm doing an extended version of Dr. King, I decided to cut that part off. You get it next week, because I want you to hear all of Dr. King, Work Your Friends Up, The Meaning of Hope. We're going to play and we're going straight through, and then I'm going to take some calls. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVN, number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. You can also get us on Blog Talk. Happy New Year to all y'all, and thank you for listening to us this morning and to this great WVU, and it's been really good. The show's all the week been good. We're just going to be all right. So I'm getting ready now to play Dr. King, my leader. I mean, it's very important because if a person don't have hope, they're already dead. So I'm going to play my leader, my teacher, the man who's responsible for me, my being here in Chicago, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in the meeting of hope. We're not going to stop. We're going straight through, and then we'll come back and take calls. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the meeting of hope.
I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long,
no,
because truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
My brothers and sisters in the movement, we welcome you once again to yet another edition of Martin Luther King Jr., SCLC Speaks, featuring the speeches and sermons of our founding president, Dr. King.
Yeah. I'm worried about our nation because it's sick with racism still. Just think about the fact that we live in a nation which was founded on the principle that all men are created equal. And yet men are still arguing over whether the color of a man's skin determines the content of his character. Our nation is sick with militarism. Any nation that spends some $70 or $80 billion on military pursuits is headed toward its spiritual doom and is sick with excessive materialism. Have you ever thought about it? There are between 38 and 50 million people in the United States of America who are poverty-stricken, making income less than the poverty level. And yet, this is the richest nation in the history of the world. Our national gross product this year will go beyond $800 billion. And yet, there are between 38 and 50 million people who are poverty-stricken. Are something wrong? And so because there's something wrong, our struggle must continue. And so I come back to Alabama 12 years after we started here dealing with the humiliation of the system of segregation, saying that we must move to a new level now and grapple with the economic problem facing Negroes all over our country. And we plan to do that this spring, centering it in 10 or 15 communities of our country, with the basic center being Washington, D.C., the capital of our nation. We plan to go there to say to the government that you must provide jobs and income, and we don't plan to leave until that is done. Now, they may not respond. I can only say, God help America if the response doesn't come. Now, in spite of the fact that I'm worried about America, I always maintain hope, and that's what I want to preach about this morning. But I want to talk about the meaning of hope. And if that is any one thing that the church must do, is to keep the flame of hope burning. The church is something of the custodian hopefulness. And when everybody else loses hope, when other institutions lose hope, the church is that one institution that must keep hope alive. Now, if you will turn to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and move toward the end of that chapter, you will find the Apostle Paul setting forth that magnificent trilogy of durability. He reminds us that three powers will survive: faith, hope, and love. Now, strangely enough, we hear a great deal about love. We read a number of books about love, and we hear a great deal about faith. But we don't hear enough about hope. And yet, my friends, that is a need to talk about hope today more than ever before. Why? Because so many people have lost hope. And yet, if we are going to survive, we have to hope. Now, this leads me to the question, what is hope and what is its meaning? Let me say first that hope is not to be identified with optimism. A lot of people feel that hope is optimism. I must distinguish between magic hope and realistic hope. Now, magic hope is sheer optimism. It is the notion that tomorrow everything will be all right. That's magic hope. Tomorrow, everything will automatically be better. It is the notion that in the very flow of time itself is a miraculous quality that automatically makes things better. Now, the thing that's wrong with that view is that it is insensitive to the possibility of tragedy. Tomorrow everything may not be all right. Change is not always for the best. And so optimism is not genuine hope. And this is why I must speak about realistic hope. Now, realistic hope is based on a willingness to face the risk of failure and embrace an in spite of quality. That's realistic hope. Genuine hope involves the recognition that what is hoped for is in some sense already present. Let me kind of illustrate this for you. What is hoped for is not present, and it is present. It's not present in the sense that it is not fulfilled. But what you really hope for is present in the sense that it is in you as a power that drives you to fulfill the hope. Let me illustrate it a little more. Some people, I hope all of you here, hope for peace. I do. Peace is not here. War in Vietnam, the Middle East crisis, Greece and Turkey, still not quite right about Cyprus.
The Nigerians had battled in a civil war with the secessionist government of Biafra, and Biafra fight Nigeria. So peace is not here. It's not fulfilled. But peace is here in the sense that there are some people who love peace, and peace is here in the sense that it is in those persons as a power that drives them to seek to make peace a reality. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, one day, don't wait for the kingdom in some distant tomorrow. The kingdom of God is not yet as a universal phenomenon. It may not come in history as a universal phenomenon, but the kingdom is here in the sense that it is in you. You don't need to wait until 100 years from now for the kingdom. Get in the kingdom now. Whenever you love, the kingdom is present. Whenever you love truth, whenever you love justice, whenever you do right, the kingdom is present. The kingdom of God is in you. Realistic hope recognizes that that which is hoped for is already here to a degree in the sense that it is in the person as a power that drives him to bring into being the object of his hope. Now, the other thing I want to say is never confuse hope with desire. They're two different things. Desire has an I quality. Hope has a we quality. And therefore, genuine hope can never be selfish. You may desire a new car. You may desire to get a new beautiful outfit. You may desire to get a new, beautiful house. But you hope for freedom. That has a weak quality. You may desire sex, but you hope for peace. That has a weak quality. Desire has an I quality, but hope always has a weak quality. And you can never hope for something that you don't hope for somebody else and for many other selves. And this is why hope is always contagious. Menninger said in one of his other books that hope fires hope. And you know there are times that you can be down and you can be feeling pretty bad, and then you see somebody with a radiant hope and it lifts you, even though they may be silent, but in their very countenance you see a little hope. Because there's something about hope in somebody else that generates something in you. Whenever you truly hope, you hope for everybody. You hope for those who've lost hope. You hope for those who have come to the brink of despair. And it is through that contagious quality in hope that you're able to lift others. And this is why hope is far greater than desire, which always has an I quality. And let me say next that hope is necessary for life. It may not take you long to realize that in order to live creatively, you've got to have hope, because hope is something of the tension between present and future. And really, you can't act positively and creatively without hoping. And you know, there's nothing more painful than to see some individuals who've lost hope. If you lose hope absolutely, you lose life. A hopeless individual is a dead individual. And if one loses hope, he may still be alive physically, but he's dead spiritually and psychologically. And he may go on and live another 30, 40, or 50 years, but the cessation of breathing in his life will merely be the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. He died when he lost hope. When you lose hope, you lose creativity, you lose rationality. People who lose hope become bitter. And people who become bitter become spiritually blind. And that is the moral astigmatism covering their lives, and they can't see reality. I was saying to some of my nationalist friends the other day, we were arguing about violence versus nonviolence. And I was saying, the problem is you've lost hope. You've come to feel that we can't win. And whenever you do that, your rationality breaks down. You will begin to talk about guerrilla warfare in a situation where it's neither practical, possible, or moral. He who loses hope makes the ugly beautiful and the beautiful ugly. He who loses hope makes the true false and the false true. He who loses hope makes that which is good appear evil and that which is evil appear good. And so hope is necessary for life. Hope is necessary for creativity. And spirituality, hope is one of the basic structures for an adequate life. Another thing I want to say about hope is this, that hope is animated and undergirded by faith and love. It's very interesting that Paul put these three right together. Because if you really hope, you love. And if you really hope, you have faith in something. So hope is generated and animated by love, and it is undergirded by faith. When you hope, you are really saying that you have faith in something. When you hope, you are really saying that you have faith in the ultimate meaning of life and history. When you hope, you are really saying that you have faith in the fact that the contradictions of life are not ultimate or permanent. This is what you are saying. When you hope, you are saying that you have faith in the fact that all reality hinges on moral foundations. Now, you know all reality hinges on physical foundations. We all know that. So we don't just go jump out of airplanes to be jumping, or we don't go up to the Empire State Building and jump off, because even if we don't know it, in its Newtonian formulation, we do know that that is the final law of gravitation in the physical universe. And somehow, what goes up must come down, and we don't go disobeying that law. When you have faith, you believe that there are moral laws just as abiding as the physical laws, and you can't break them. They break you. You can't break the law of gravitation. Jump off the Empire State Building if you want, and you can call it breaking that law, but it will break you. You can't break that law. It breaks you. That is a law of love in the universe. Try to break it if you will.
Yeah.
It'll break you. History is replete with the bleached bones of nations and the crumbled wreckage of communities that fail to follow the law of love and the law of justice. When you really have hope, you have faith in the morality of the universe,
And I have faith in the final morality of the universe. It hinges on moral foundations. Now, finally, hope is a refusal to give up. He who hopes is never inflicted with the disease of give-up-itis. Hope is finally a refusal to give up. And I say this morning that there is power in hope if you recognize that it is a final refusal not to be stopped. I want to tell you about some people who refuse to be stopped. They should give us inspiration this morning. They were our slave foreparents. Think about it. Never let anyone romanticize slavery. There have been brutal things done to people in history. But nobody in the history of the world has suffered like the black man. More than 75 million black people were lost, murdered, and died in the midst of that 200-some years of the slave trade. There were those who died before they left Africa. Let nobody tell you that they didn't resist. They did resist, but they couldn't do anything about it. They didn't have any armies and navies because they had no expansionistic desire. They weren't thinking about taking a lot of land and perpetuating racism and all of that over the world. And so they were conquered and taken and chained to ships like beasts. There were times when overseers walked right through those ships. Somebody, some black man or woman would be in Ireland, they'd just throw them overboard, and they would throw them overboard by the hundreds. Our brothers and our sisters were literally used as breeders. That's what they were used. As soon as the little children were born, they would be snatched from the hands of the mothers like a hungry dog snatches a bone from a human hand. This is what they went through. As a crime to learn to read or write, there were instances that some slaves would slip off and try to learn how to read and write, and they would literally cut their hands off. These things happen, my friends. Don't ever romanticize slavery. It's one of the darkest and most evil periods in the history of the world. But the Negro is still going. And he's going because he never had the disease of give-up-itis. He knew somehow that there was an agreement with an eternal power. And he'd look out and say, you ain't no Negro. You ain't no slave, but you're God's children. Jeremiah the prophet raised a great question. He looked out and he noticed the ambiguities of history. He noticed good people suffering and evil people prospering. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Centuries later, our foreparents came along, and they noticed the inequalities of life. Nothing to look forward to morning after morning but the sizzling heat, the rawhide whip of the overseer, long rolls of cotton. But they did an amazing thing. They looked back across the centuries, and they took Jeremiah's question mark and straighten it into an exclamation point. And they could sing, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Yeah. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. And then I like that other verse because, you know, I feel discouraged sometimes. Right. Around in Alabama and Mississippi and up in Cleveland and Chicago, every now and then I think
feel discouraged living every day under the threat of death. I feel discouraged every now and then and feel my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. And this is the faith. It's the faith that will carry us through the dark days ahead. And I close this morning by saying that ultimately, the ground of hope is in the eternality of God. That is where it is. And I can hope this morning because I have faith in God and His power. I'm talking about the God that told Moses about it one day. People wanted to know who sent him. And God said, tell him I am sent you. They wanted to know, who is this I am? God said to Moses, say, I am that I am. In other words, my first name is the same as my last. And let them know that I'm a supreme noun. I'm an independent clause, not a dependent clause. All of us have to say, we are because of. I am because of my parents. I am because of my school. I am because of my environment. And you have to say the same thing. But God is the only being in the universe that can say I am and put a period behind it. It needs no support. And this is the God. It's the ground of our hope. And I know about him. I know that he can make a way out of no way. I know about it. I know that he can transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. I know about him. I know that he can lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. I know about him. I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And I want to thank God for Paul this morning, for letting us know that in the midst of the changes and vicissitudes of life, some things will abide. Faith, hope, and love. Yes, they will abide. And we had better allow these abiding forces to work in our lives. And if we will do that, God in all of his glory will continue to smile upon you. And every time you give new hope to one of God's despairing children, at that moment, the morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy.
On behalf of SBIC and you, our listeners,
the sons of God will sing together. My leader, my teacher, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., some of the stuff I've been trying to tell y'all, each week I set behind. And these are the things as we get ready to go into to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Martin Luther King. Don't let folk call him MLK. These are the things the children need to hear Dr. King. And if you notice, you would think that what he was talking about really is about today. When he said, we didn't give up. That's why we created a Howard University. That's why we, you know, in Jimmy's book, Great Black Patriot Americans, where he lays out all the sites and stuff where our people are and all the things that we did in spite of. Talk about Frederick Douglass. When you talk about when they made the AME Church and all the other things. I tell you, can I take 1 minute break? Okay. Now I got to take a break and I'll be right back.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org, but you're probably not going to. Nope.
I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBOS.
We're back, y'all. We are back. We're back. Got a little emotional there. Take a break for a moment. Get me some water. Talking about my leader and thinking about the conditions that we're in today and how we're letting folks teach all this hate and how we've given up hope and how folks are just not thinking. So I just took one little break for a minute, and now I'm going to go back to the phone right now. Karen.
You know, Miss Tillman.
Yes.
I got to tell you, playing that is what we need to hear.
Thank you.
Because the God that we're looking for, he's dwelling within us, and he can only come out through love, through real love. And we don't understand, love hurts, but it heals too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so important, because we keep hearing the regular same old things that America wants us to hear. But playing that in its entirety mm-hmm. is what we need. Listen, I just want to say this to the rest of the world. The God in you is the infinite wisdom. And you will know just what to do when you go inside and pull her out. But the God in you mm-hmm. is the I am. And the I am is the love. Another thing, there's a movie out called The Shack.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody has seen it, it's on Netflix. I would suggest that every human being that can hear my voice go watch The Shack. And you would understand exactly who and what God is. It's only one black person in that movie. And when you see that movie, you would understand who you are.
Let me just say this, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, and I'm going to go to the phone with y'all. I got 15 minutes to take calls. I got mm-hmm. a few lines open. Y'all can call in. Let me just say this. There was a move afoot to separate black people from church. That's why Dr. King says the church have to. And then there was a move of all this violence in our community right now. If you remember that the BLM was against a family, the nuclear family, and all the other stuff. We cannot ever give up the God of our weary years, our silent tears, the ones who really helped us and guided us in spite of all the stuff Dr. King was talking about, how we was able to build schools and build churches and build hospitals and really all the things that we did. That's why it's very important, y'all, look at the Tillman Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. And it's kind of give you an idea. But this is what the children need to hear of Dr. King.
Yes.
Not that I had a dream mess.
Let me just say one more thing before I go. It can never be a me until it's a we. Understand that. And the world know it. It can never be a me until it's a we. Love you, Queen. This was a great show this morning. Play that more often. Thank you.
Thank you. Y'all, I really thank you, Karen, for calling me. Because I wanted to play something to set us on another path, and I'm going to try to keep that path going throughout the year as we move forward. And I once again will say to those leaders out there, and elected, anointed, or appointed, before you talk, give talking points to black people, go back, pray and read the whole thing, but get into our people. I mean, I blame leadership for the state that we're in America. I'm not just talking about elected. It's elected, anointed, appointed, and those who reap the benefit and ran away. Let me see. Ron, how you doing this morning?
Happy New Year to you, Ms. Tilden.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And you and your lovely family. Real
Thank
quick,
you.
There couldn't have been a more fitting speech for you to play starting out the year. And, Ms. Tilden, I do, as you and I always mention you, if there's a guest or anybody and they refer to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King as MLK, I do correct very respectfully,
mm-hmm.
but to diminish the magnificence of that man,
mm-hmm.
and I ask anybody that's listening, please, and we do it respectfully, that he's not some athlete, you know, MJ or something. He's Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I mentioned you. When I went, it'd be different holes, and people come in, I said, look, you know, as Dorothy Tillman, and that's her leader. So let's do that. I ask everybody to do that as we approach his celebration. But again, just thank you. I mean, just for starting out the year, not with optimism. We're going to start the year out with hope. God bless you.
Yeah, Ron, before you go, I want to thank you. Because, you know, you and I go back and forth, and that's why I love you. Because you, we're
but
able
you
to,
do, and that's why I love you.
And that's what
I,
you're supposed
no,
to be able
it.
To do
but
is go back and forth
what
and get these ideas
it.
With love.
That's right. But
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I know you love me and my family, and so I just had a lovely conversation with Emmy. But God bless you.
And I know that you love black people, Ron. See, people hear you on this radio, but they don't know all the things that you have done for our community. I want to salute and thank you for all the things that you have done. And what do we get? I'm telling everybody to get on their emails or whatever they Google and tell folks, do not call them MLK. Because once you do that, see, the devil is doing that so you can take out the fact that Dr. King was a minister. He was a leader. He was Dr. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was so deeply ingrained with God. Dr. King died almost on the same day that Jesus did. It's just deep. Dr. King, God sent him here. He did what he had to do, and we just cannot call him MLK, and then you put some iron in his milk. Thank
you. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron. You know, before I take another call, Dr. King was, you had to really, you know, I've been blessed. Let me just put it like this. And to have known this man, I mean, he was, well, he was like the Joker. He's, you know, whistled around. That death stuff he was talking about, people heard him going to the mountaintop. You know, Dr. King talked about mountaintop experience quite often. And you all don't understand. When you have that mountaintop experience, it's something else. You know, it's an experience that you God allow you to experience that. And what you don't have, leaders who are striving right now to have that mountaintop experience. And you got to understand the pain sometimes that, that those of us who work with him, who love black people, to have suffered and done so much to put people in place, and then to see the demise of the black community like this because they get their talking points. It's really too much for me. Reverend Witherspoon.
Hello.
Hello, Reverend Witherspoon.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
It's going to be better. It's all about love.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about love, as you all talk.
Mm-hmm.
Love is action. Well, you got to show love to God, people, over 60 some years.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you and your entire family. It shows that you love God and you're a powerhouse of us. Father, daughter, son, we thank God for you. Always spread the love. And you were all to be under Dr. King. That was a blessing. So you're a great woman. Great to see you, Drake. Thank God for your pastor. It's going to be a better year.
Thank you.
You be encouraged.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our church, you know, is very important to understand our spirituality. It was our spirituality that doubt. That's what Dr. King said. We went through so much. And that's why I tell these elected officials now who backing up these people with this remap and all this stuff, We paid the way. Nobody had the pain that we've had. You don't have to back up to nobody. If you're real and you have God, you have love, you don't have to back up. When you look at George Washington Cobb, look what he did. Look at Booker T. Washington. And when you have people tearing down statues because they want to get rid of your history in America, because to look at this person, got to look at you. It's not black folks leading this movement, the tear down statues. You got to say, why is it that they're doing it? They tore down a statue the other day, and then they put COVID in that time capsule. They found a lot of stuff in there. So they took it out and put a BLM flag and a COVID thing in the time capsule. That's a joke. And our relationship is intertwined with the white Anglo-Saxon and the black man in this country. But you got other folks who just got here. Hey, Durbin is the first generation. So he don't have the history. Most folks, so they got to wipe out black folks, and they got to wipe out our God in order to be able to take us and do this, to do us like they're doing us. That's what they got to do, I tell you. It's just, you know. But when you think about George Washington Carver, what did Bishop Allen do? He built a church, Ida B. Wells. What did he do? Dr. Charles Drew. You look at all these folks who, you know, you need to understand that we never, ever just gave up. Mary McLeod Bethune just gave up. We've never given up, never at all, because we knew our God, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears. We have to, I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But we have to stop allowing folks to sit on us and push us away. And I was telling somebody the other day, they always say, well, you're too old. You just, hey, we have to talk about the Vernon Jerrys of the world. We have to talk about Silas Parnell, how many children he sent to school to make sure that they got through the schools. We don't do that anymore. You know, we have to talk about all of these great people. You know, Miss Elam. We have to talk about Judge and John Johnson, and we have to talk about S.B. Fuller. Let's talk about all of our people who did things, even with Harold and everybody. Jim Montgomery, the first black corporation council person. But they push us back, and we're taking a back seat. We don't take a back seat to nobody. Nobody. And we shouldn't let nobody make us take a back seat, because everything everybody have today, they're standing on our shoulders. Get off our backs. But do it with love and do it with nonviolence. George. Good morning, George.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Dorothy Tillman, right?
Yes, sir.
Man, you powerful. I just wanted to say, you know, that I'm glad, you know, to listen to you. You know, I'm gonna make sure I listen to you every morning, and I know that about the black race by listening to you, and I thank God for you. You know that I'm a minister. And since I listen to you, I'm going to make sure I always, when I go preach a sermon, I'm gonna make sure I always preach about hope.
Yeah.
From listen to that speech.
Yeah.
I met Harry Washington before he became mayor downtown on Lake and, I can't remember the other street, but. I think it was Lake and
Dearborn.
It was Dearborn. Me and my sister pastor, we was in a restaurant, and we went in there ate some breakfast, and he told us to come sit at the table with him, and we didn't know who he was until he told us. he said I'm gonna be the mayor one day.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. I'm going to talk about the making of the mayor. People think they know the story, but I'm going to talk about that one day. George, that's really good. I'm glad as a minister that you heard this. And we got to say, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., we got to let folks know that he was a man of God, not just some MLK. You know, we cannot let them diminish, because if you do that, then you just diminish all of our greatness as we go through. As he said, we didn't give up. We didn't give up. He said, in spite of it all, he did it. and we always put God first. Thank you so much. And this year coming up, I'm going to try to. I'm trying to see how I'm going to do this so that not only we take our hope and our hopes become our dream, it become reality. You know, we can work on something. Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you so much.
I'm always keep you in my prayers.
I thank you. Thank you so much. God bless. You know, it's almost time for me to go. How many minutes I got over there? Well, you know, we got the power. We got the power. We don't have to. We don't have to take this. Just know you got the power. And I hope you enjoyed Dr. Martin Luther, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today. If you don't have anything to do today at 12 o'clock, you can turn on YouTube or Facebook and look at Liberty Baptist Church. Pastor Andrew Hunch Jr. will be giving on New Year's Day speech in the spirit of Dr. King. That's why I follow my minister. And you can also follow us on Sunday from 11 to 12. You got the power. The power is given to us by God. And you got to know how to use it. Don't let nobody keep pushing you away. Elected official, listen to me. Stand up and stop letting folks push you around. Anointed leader, stand up and stop being pushed around. Any leader, stand up. Appointed, stand up. Stop reading talking points. If somebody wants you to speak on something, give the whole, read it and see is it benefiting your community. There's nothing wrong with being black, nationalistic. That doesn't mean you hate anybody else. That means you love your people. As Harold say, to love your people don't mean you hate anybody else. Dr. King was a great man. He died with a little nothing because money was not important to him. Party was not important. I never thought that I would see so many elected officials that does not go to church or does not believe in God. Or maybe they believe, but they're not fighting for the God system and God we trust in America. Dorothy Wright, Tim Webb enjoyed you so much. Just want to tell you, this is Charles Bevel, James Bevel, baby brother. You got the power.
Make that water warm and clear. Yes, you got the power.
X is up.
Make that storm breeze. And it's all there in your heart.
It's all there in your heart. Hey. Woo. You got the power.
I see that awful mountain.
Yeah. But you got the power, baby.
I know that winding road, same road was mine.
Do it in 10.
I found the power.
I found the power
to lay that mountain down.
Yes, I found the power. It's God, y'all, that I am.
To make that road.
Dorothy Wright Tillman said, Happy New Year. And until next week, you got the power. Let's repair this damage the right way. Not the white way, but the right way. Reparations now. The Tillman Handbook of Great Black American Patriots. Get the book, y'all. You can also go to Frontline and get it.
We're your original social media. The Talk of Chicago is 1690 AM, WVON Berwyn, Chicago.
Podcast You Should Know on the Black Information Network. I'm Morgan Wood, and today we're featuring some of the best podcasts available on the iHeartRadio app. Here's another podcast you should know.
Welcome to Hello Somebody, a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia, where we rage against the machine, where we raise our voices against injustice and stand up for justice. where we embrace hope and joy with an optimism for a brighter, more just future. We get real, baby. I mean, really real. We get honest. We get up close and personal for you, yes, you, because everybody is somebody. Hello, somebody. Here we are again, and today do we have a treat for you. I am overjoyed to introduce my sister girlfriend, fellow trailblazing activist and co-founder and chief creative officer of Color Farm Media. Erica Alexander is known for her powerful acting prowess, but she is also a force to be reckoned with within the media industry. So here we are with Erica Alexander the Great herself.
Well, I'm Alexander the Great because I put that on every paper growing
That's
up
what I
because
thought.
I learned about Alexander the Great. Yeah, my mother got when she went in for parent teacher night, they said, you know, Erica signs her name, Erica Alexander the Great. And she goes, so what's wrong with that? And she goes, well, you know, she goes, if that's what she believes, that's what she believes. My mother was
so naive.
She defended me all the time. And it was good in a way because I wasn't doing it to be harmful. I just thought it was a fun thing to put after my name. I didn't know then that I could have been a rapper with that kind of attitude.
That's right.
They changed, right? They big themselves up all the time.
Yeah, they renamed themselves. No, I love that. And I love that about your mom, too. And the fact that you had that kind of innate, it just came to you honest. I am Erica Alexander the Great. Yeah, baby, recognize right now. All children need that, but I would say especially Black children need that because the world does tell us that we're inadequate in every way. For me, being a Gen Xer, there were not a lot of images of me, of Black women, that's number one, and then two, dark skin, more chocolate side of Blackness.
Mm-hmm.
And I got messages, both directly and indirectly, that because of my extra chocolateness, I was not as attractive. But my mother would always say to me, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
Today, we're featuring podcasts you should know on the Black Information Network. For more info on this podcast, check out the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Devin Dunstan on the Black Information Network. In 1966, an African-American nurse by the name of Mary Van Britten Brown was concerned about the high crime rate in her New York City neighborhood. Her husband was away from home a lot, and she felt that she needed more protection than a simple door lock offered. With the idea of beefing up security in her Queens home, Mary Van Britten Brown and her husband started working on an idea that's now become the basis of many of today's home security systems. The Browns' electronic security system was based on a camera that allowed people inside to see anyone who came to the door without opening that door. Mary Brown then added a microphone, a button to unlock the door, and the ability to automatically call police if she needed help. In 1969, Mary Van Britten Brown and her husband were awarded a patent on their home security system. And today, the use of cameras, microphones, and automatic dialers are the fundamental components of many security systems. It's an invention that was patented by an African-American nurse more than 50 years ago. And that's a fact. I'm Devin Dunstan on the Black Information Network.
Black journalism at work.
Because truth matters.
The Black Information Network. Stay informed at BINnews.com.
Follow us on Facebook at the Black Information Network and tell your smart device to play the Black Information Network on the iHeartRadio app.
America lost a legend and Black icon with the passing of Henry Louis Hank Aaron. The Hall of Fame slugger whose 755 career home runs stood as Major League Baseball's golden mark died at the age of 86. As one of baseball's greatest stars, Aaron's career spanned over 20 years, and he retired with a host of achievements. He was the National League MVP and World Series champion in 1957, a three-time Gold Glove winner, and 25-time All-Star. His 755 career home runs stood as the Major League record before Barry Bonds broke it in 2007. It was Aaron who broke Babe Ruth's original record of 714 home runs, all while threats were made on his life by fans who did not want to see a Black man as baseball's home run king. After retiring as a player, Aaron moved to the front office, eventually becoming senior vice president and assistant to the president of the Atlanta Braves. Off the field, Aaron was a tireless advocate for civil rights. This is Terrence Bibb for the Black Information Network.
Open enrollment for the ACA Health Insurance Marketplace starts November 1st, so it's time to ask some important questions. Do you want to enroll in a new health plan or update your current plan? GetCoveredIllinois.gov can help you navigate health care coverage with free enrollment help, quality coverage, and financial assistance so you can find the right plan for you. Whether you're in Chicago...